And let's get our Bibles out. Let's go to the book of Psalm chapter 40. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, 2, and 3. Amen. Psalm chapter 40, verse 1, 2, and 3. I'm going to take a look at patience this morning. To the chief musician, a psalm of David, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock. He established my goings, and he hath put a new song in my mouth, even praise unto our God. Many shall see it and fear, and shall trust in the Lord. Amen. Anybody need a new song this morning? A new song in your heart? Praise God. I don't want to just have the same old song. I want to have a new song. And there's a way to have a new song, and it's to wait patiently for the Lord. Amen. That means that the Lord doesn't move exactly when we want him to move. That means that he has his time and his way, and I'm thankful for his leadership and his wisdom for each and every one of us. Amen. Let's pray together and let's ask for the help of the Lord this morning. Jesus, we lean on you this morning. We put our confidence in you today, and because of that confidence that we have, it has borne out patience in our lives. I pray your hand upon the word of God this morning. Anoint it to our hearts, we pray in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless you. You can be seated this morning. Praise God. Great to be in the house of God this morning. Amen. You know, when we talk about patience, it's really a subject that is missing in our day. There are not very many that have patience in our day today. I'm not saying that everybody is that way, but there are many that want it, and I want it now. Amen. Actually, I want it yesterday. There's little room in the hearts of many today for waiting and having patience. We want everything to go fast. Daniel chapter 12 and verse 4 it says, but thou, O Daniel, shut up the words and seal the book even to the time of the end. Many shall run to and fro, and knowledge shall be increased. Oh my, we're seeing some things transpiring in our world today where many shall run to and fro. They're not going to walk, they're going to run. They're going to go fast. Everything is fast-paced. Everything is get it done now, the most efficient way, so on and so forth. And knowledge shall be increased, and we see that in our generation today. There is a new technology that is coming out that is going to actually be a worldwide situation. Just been reading about it recently, and it's called blockchain. Some of you may have heard of that. And there are companies now, tech companies, internet companies, that are studying this out and are going to implement it not very far into the future. And it's where everyone has a block of information and everyone is chained together. And that blockchain... excuse me, that blockchain has a certain password, but it is hooked to the next one and the next one and the next one and the next one. And the only way that hackers can get in there, they've got to go through the chain. They said it would be one to several trillion in odds that a hacker would be able to go into that. We are looking at the 5G and the 6G that is now coming. And I'm not going to get technical here this morning, But we have gotten so used to our technical world that we expect things to happen right now. If it takes 2 minutes to download something, we get nervous. Amen. If it takes too long for our computer to boot up and to do what it needs to do, we're already thinking about getting a brand new higher speed computer. Amen. And we're running to and fro. We're going in a direction. I just wonder where we're going to end up, where we're going so fast. Amen. We got to be going somewhere, and I think I know where we're going. Prophecy talks about that. But in the midst of a fast-paced generation, we need to learn and understand as apostolics this morning that God wants us to have patience in our lives. Praise the Lord. He wants us to have patience in our lives because I'm afraid that we can miss some of the most important things in life by slowing down just a little bit, at least slowing down in our heart, in our mind, in our spirit. And don't ask me exactly how we're supposed to do that, but the Bible says we need to have patience in our lives. Amen. Because patience will bring about the opportunity or the ability, rather, to hear from God. If we're going 90 miles an hour, we don't see a lot of things. We don't hear a lot of things. I remember one time on the East Coast, I lived about 7 miles from where I worked. And I got up in the morning and my car wouldn't start. I had a Rambler American 220, amen, and it was used, and had a 3-speed on the column, and I went out to start it in the morning and it would not start. I made a mistake there. I got to work and after work it would not start. And back in those days we didn't have cell phones. Nobody really knew a whole lot about that technology. And so I couldn't call anybody for a ride. So I started walking home. And I walked almost the whole 7 miles. I walked about 5 miles of it. And I was praying, Lord, just let somebody stop and pick me up. Because as I started walking, it started raining. Have you ever had a day like that before? It started raining, and I thought, you know, it's not bad. The only thing that would be bad is if it started raining harder, and then it started raining harder. And then it rained hard enough that the puddles formed in the road, and I thought, well, this isn't too bad unless somebody comes along and hits a puddle and covers me with a flood of water. Well, guess what happened? Amen. Somebody hit a puddle, and it just drenched me from head to toe. And but there's something I learned about that. I saw things. I traveled that road many, many times on my way to work, busy going and doing and all of this. When I was walking on that road, I saw things that I'd never seen before. I saw trees that I never saw before. I saw houses. I saw some of the little details that were all along that pathway. And it taught me to slow down just a little bit. Amen. Now, I'm not going to walk everywhere I go. Amen. I'm going to go as fast as I can in my car, but I want to stop and be patient to smell the roses. Amen. Be able to smell the flowers and to see the sights that are around us. Amen. To hear the bird chirping and to feel the breeze on your face and just to have a calm sense that God is near, and here I am in God's creation, and God has a plan for my life. Amen. And the plan of God for my life is not necessarily running to and fro. And in another place, it says they will run to and fro, and they will run one into another. Amen. We're not going to get into that here this morning. But Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 8, it says, better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. And I've used this recently. And the patient in spirit is better than the proud in spirit. Amen. Better is the end of a thing than the beginning thereof. Praise God. And in order to get from the beginning of something to the end of something, well, there are different things that we can do, but let's just look at it for where it really is. If you're going to do something really great and valuable, it's not going to happen in a day. Praise the Lord. Just not going to do it. You're not going to build a business in a day. You're not going to establish a prayer life in a day. Amen. You're not going to establish a relationship in a day. Praise God. Somebody said about marriage, they said before you get married, you can talk for an hour and it seems like 5 minutes. But after you've been married a while, you can talk 5 minutes and it seems like an hour. And I don't want that to ever happen. Amen. But we get impatient and we've got other things that we need to do and we don't have time to stop and listen, time to stop and talk. Amen. But the end of a thing is better than the beginning. That's why the Bible says that the day of death is better than the day of birth. Amen. It doesn't sound right. It doesn't seem like it's right. But the Bible says that it is better. Amen. The reason it is better is because now there have been some things established in that life. Praise God. Some things that have been wrought, worked out, day by day by day. It's not a gigantic leap to success. It's not a gigantic leap to spirituality. It's not a gigantic leap to anything that is of quality and value. Amen. A marriage is not built overnight. Praise God. A friendship is not built overnight. Amen. A relationship of on your work, on your job, is not built overnight. It takes time and it takes patience. Praise God. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 14. 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 14. It says, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, and be patient toward all men." And so if we're looking at this subject of patience here this morning, the first area I want to look at is the area of relationships with others. Amen. And we're in this world. I think that every one of us have interaction with other people. That's what life is all about. When God made Adam, He made him as an individual, the only man on the face of the earth. And the Lord looked at it and said, it's not good that man dwells alone. And so He made a woman, and they were married, and they had children. So when God made Eve, He made a family. Amen. And because of the family unit, now there is interaction between individuals. And then when He made families, He made cities. And when He made cities, He made nations. And when He made nations, He made the world. Praise God. And so there is of need interaction, relationship. And when we're hasty in our relationships, it is not good. Amen. It is not good to be hasty in your spirit, the Bible says. And we may get onto that here in a moment. But we need to have patience with one another. Be patient toward all men, the Bible says. And why do we need to be patient with all men? Well, first of all, I think because we expect others to be patient with us. And it only seems like the right thing to do. Praise God. And if I can be patient with others, maybe others will be patient with me. And I think the second reason that we need to have patience toward all men is because none of us get it real quickly. Amen. Teaching is not telling someone and then expecting them to follow through for the rest of their life. That's not what real teaching is all about. Brother Mike, who's working this morning, told me that he does a lot of training on his job, and he told the men, he said, I'm not going to do it all for you. You're going to have to do it yourself, and you're going to have to think about what you're doing before you do it and go through a process. I'll be here to help you if it doesn't work out. But he said, learning is not somebody teaching only, but it is experience. Praise God. Because every teaching has an experience that goes with it. Some are not that high, but others are really high. We teach a lot here at the church, and we bring out the Word of God, and we dissect it, and all of that. And it would be very easy. It would be very easy to say it's just words that have gone up into the atmosphere somewhere. That it is something that was just for that service, and it doesn't go any further than that. But in reality, when you teach, there is something that is imparted into the mind and into the spirit and into the heart, amen, and into the soul. The ears are a receptor. The eyes are the gateway to the soul. And what we hear is what we become, amen. And when we hear the Word of God, it's not just once that we need to teach on a subject and say, this is what the Bible says about this. This is what we need to do in our lives. But there are so many instances I know personally, and you can say amen to this as well. You're in a really great service, and you make up your mind, I'm going to do this and this and this and this this week. And then the week comes and something comes up and you get busy and you don't follow through. Has anybody ever done that? Amen. Four or five of you. Praise God. Well, God bless all the rest of you. And you're perfect here this morning, and you completely follow through. Well, I need to be taught by you. Amen. I need to know what's going on there. But it is repetition. Amen. How many's ever had flashcards at school? Yeah, Garrett, give me flashcards. Over and over and over and over and over again. Amen. 2 + 2 = 4. I remember the flashcards, and they always made me nervous because I thought they're going to pull one up that I don't know, and then I'm going to be embarrassed. Amen. And I was looking real closely, and then we'd go over it again and go over it again and learn 1 through 10. And then the big, big day came when everybody had to count to 100. In front of the whole class, we had to count to 100. And, you know, I am what I am today partly because of those flashcards. Amen. I can figure things out in my mind mathematically to a point, and I can come up with a general answer or the specific answer, and it's because of those flashcards. It's because I sat there who knows how long, how many hours of my life, somebody pulls up a flashcard and says, okay, answer this one, okay, answer this one, and we just go through it, you know, and while we're going through it, mom or dad is eating a snack, and we've got to sit there, and we've got to go through this, and I don't understand why I'm going through this. Amen. A man that I know is a tremendous bass player and has played professionally, lives on the East Coast, and he remembers being made to play the piano at 5 years old, and he had to go to the classes. He had to learn how to play the piano at 5 years old. And then not only did he do that, he went to voice lessons. And when he was playing the piano, the teacher would instruct him if a fire truck came down the road and would blow his horn, the teacher would say, what key is that in? And he would have to know what key that thing was blowing its horn in. And he told me one time, he said, I remember as a kid thinking to myself, why are they making me do this? I don't like this. I don't want to do this. I'm doing the same thing over and over and over again. Praise God. Anybody relate to that this morning? That's the way it is, and that's the way it's been for all of us and most of us. If you didn't do that, then you're going to fall behind. Amen. And so if it was that way with us, it's that way with others. Praise the Lord. Well, I told you once. Well, tell me 50 times and maybe I'll catch it. Praise God. Amen. Well, you saw, you went through those flashcards. You ought to have it. Well, I don't have it. Amen. I'm working on this. I'm striving for this. Praise God. I thought, well, as an older person, I thought, you know, I'm really smart. I went to get my contractor's license, and they said, you got to take a test for this. And I thought, well, it's going to be a breeze. But then when they gave me the book, it was about that thick. And I thought, oh, Lord, help me. And so I bought another book that had tests in it, practice tests. And so I thought, well, I'll just breeze through this. And I took the practice test, and I failed it. Amen. And then I thought, well, I just need to study a little bit. So I studied some more and took another practice test, and I failed it. And so I thought, this is getting serious now. And so I started studying about 8 hours a day. And I don't know how many of those practice tests I took until the day came when I took the real test, and praise God, I passed it. Amen. But it took patience. Things don't happen overnight. It takes patience, and patience with others. You know, the way you are is the way a lot of people are. And if it takes you time to learn, it's going to take them time to learn. And sometimes in ministry, when you're helping people and talking to people, it can be very frustrating. But we've got to step back and say, you know what? The Bible says we need to be patient toward all men. Patient toward all men. Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. And Paul's writing to the Romans here, and he says, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. And so we got to add to this a little bit that there are tribulations that come along. And the Lord knows none of us want to spend a lot of time there. Amen. We don't want to spend a lot of time when troubles come. We want to get it resolved, get it behind us, and let's move on. But sometimes it just doesn't work out that way. And we end up like Job, or we end up like Joseph, and we find ourselves in a little prison. Amen, and it's just taking years and years and years. There was a dream, and the dream was everybody's going to bow to him. And now he finds himself in the prison bowing to somebody else. Well, God knows how to teach us. He just pulls out the flashcard. If you're going to get used to people bowing to you, you're going to have to get used to bowing to others. Praise the Lord. You're going to have to learn this lesson. Nobody can lead until they learn how to follow. Amen. And a good leader understands those that he is leading. And so troubles come. Amen. Troubles come. Patient in tribulation. And some places in the Bible it talks about that. In one place in the book of Peter, he said it is going to be a fiery trial, that the working of your patience, amen, there is patience in tribulations or in trouble. Somebody said amen. I know that's not what you wanted to hear. But the truth of it is, that's what we need to hear. Amen. What we need to hear sometimes is, you're grounded for a month. Oh, some of you are smiling. Some of you don't know what that's all about. Oh, well, I'm just going to let them learn their own lessons. No, the Bible says, train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And so that training means you're going too fast here. We're going to have to slow it down. Amen. You're not going to do anything for a month. We just want you to think about this for a little while and just stop, because you're going too fast. And because you're going too fast, you're going to make a mistake. You're going to do something else that's going to hurt you or hurt somebody else. Amen. I don't think there's anything wrong with doing that. Well, praise the Lord. Amen. God does it to us. The Bible says that if we are the sons of God, that every son that he receives, he chastens. Amen. He says, you're going to sit in the corner for a little while and just learn a lesson here. Oh, but we don't want to learn the lesson. Amen. We, as a little child or a little toddler or even a little baby, when sleepy time comes, oh my, it gets pretty bad real fast. And, you know, they throw their head back and forth, and I thought, you know, you're not going to win this battle. Just throw his head back and forth like this and cry and holler out and kick and squirm, and then all of a sudden, fall asleep, and it's over. Might as well have just given in to it to begin with. Amen. And just enjoy it. But no, I'm going to miss something. I'm going to miss some fun. I've got to move. I've got to go. And we see it a lot in the little ones. They've got so much energy, and they've just got to run, 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 run. But I'm telling you what, the older you get, the less you want to run, 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 run. Praise God. And so we've got to learn patience. Because if we don't, we're going to end up depressed that we're not able to do what we used to do. Amen. Patience. Praise God. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 24. And the servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle unto all men, apt to teach, and patient. Amen. And so when we talk about ministry now, we talk about patience as well. Scripture talks about it in ministering to others. Gentle to all men, apt to teach, and patient. And so there again, in teaching, they're not going to get it the first time. Praise God. I've had an opportunity to go to the nursing home and do a little bit of teaching there. And not the last time, I was there yesterday, but before that, the time before that, there's a gentleman and his wife that comes, and they've been missionaries for 17 years, I believe, in the country of Ethiopia. And he can speak the language and all of that. And so the time before yesterday, I said, does anybody know what the gospel is? And he spoke up and said, it's good news. So I said, yes, it is good news, but what is the gospel? And there was no answer. He didn't get it. And so we went through the gospel, death, burial, resurrection. And so yesterday I went to the Bible study, and I'm teaching along, and I said, "What does anybody know what the gospel is?" And he spoke up and said, it's good news. And I said, yes, it is good news, but what is the gospel? And somebody else, to their credit, said, it's death, burial, and resurrection. And I got excited that somebody knew that answer. Amen. But, you know, some folks don't get it right away because teaching involves revelation. It's not just teaching. Amen. It's not just putting facts and figures and all of that in your head, but it is revelation. Amen. It's all of a sudden this word has been revealed to me. And I've got a feeling that if this individual is open-minded, there will be a day of revelation that will come. Amen. And then when it is there, it is now up to the individual. But if you're going to minister to people, you can't just stand behind a pulpit and preach a message and expect everything to work out from there. Praise the Lord. It doesn't work that way with your children. It doesn't work that way on your job. They'll tell you what to do, and then you mess it up. Amen. And you got to go over it and over it and over it until there is revelation. Oh, I see. How many has ever done that in mathematics? You just don't get it, and all of a sudden, oh, I see. I understand now. Amen. Unless you're like Tessa that knew it when she was born. Amen. And calculus 3 is boring. Amen. Yeah, kind of. God bless you. Amen. Some are there and some aren't there. Praise God. Most of us aren't there. But teaching has to have revelation with it because we don't get it the first time. And so what do we do? Amen. Do we get upset at them? Do we say, what's wrong with you? Amen. And, I would not be a good school teacher. I would not. I tried to teach my children math when they were at home, and it just wasn't a good situation. It really wasn't, and I sure do feel for my kids that had to put up with me. Amen. Well, we talked about it. What is it? I don't know. Amen. What do you mean you don't know? We just covered it. Well, I'm sorry. I just don't know. And, you know, it's just something that you have to go over and over and over again. Amen. And I do feel bad about that I put them through that tribulation and trouble. Amen. James chapter 5, verse 7 and 8. Be patient, therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. Behold, the husbandman waiteth, everybody said waits, for the precious fruit of the earth and has long patience. Everybody said long patience. That's how God is to us. Aren't you thankful for that? Has long patience for it until he receive the early and latter rain. Be ye also patient. Establish your hearts, for the coming of the Lord draweth nigh. And so when we look at patience now from the Scripture, we must have patience unto the coming of the Lord. Well, I want him to come today. Well, today goes and comes, and another day comes, and he hasn't come. Amen. Back when I first found the Lord, or he found me, it was a big thing. The Lord is coming soon. The Lord's coming soon. And all of those folks are dead and gone, so I guess the Lord did come soon. Amen. And it was fulfilled. But as far as the coming of the Lord is concerned, God has long patience. Now think about this. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years with man. And we think, oh, it's going to happen in my generation. It's happening right now. And I believe in prophecy and been teaching it through the month of March, and I really enjoyed it. Amen. I really believe what is in the Scripture. The Lord is coming. But I'm not going to live my life today and just throw everything away because the Lord is coming today. We've seen that so many times. Those that would go up to a mountain because the Lord was coming on a certain day, and they sold their homes, and they closed out their bank accounts, and they got rid of everything because the Lord is coming today. And then the Lord didn't come. Amen. And he still hasn't come, but he is coming. Amen. He is coming. And so we cannot ever leave patience when we're talking about prophecy or we're talking about the coming of the Lord. Now, when we look at patience here, patience is born out of trust. And I think we all agree with this. The scriptures, the prophecies of the scriptures are true. Amen. I trust the prophecies of the scripture. I believe those prophecies. I really do. They're very, very profound in my mind and in my heart. Amen. And so because I have trust in the Word of God, then I have patience. And can I say it this way, and really in the context of this scripture, the Lord has long patience. And then he said, be ye also patient. Establish your heart. And so we need to have long patience. Long patience. Not just for the coming of the Lord, but in teaching, in relationships, and in all the things that we've already talked about, we need to have long patience. Praise God. Because outside of long patience, there is no thing called revelation. Amen. You're never going to get a revelation of God's will in your life if you want to get it done right now. We've got to slow down and listen. Amen. Slow down and think about it. And we've all failed in this. Amen. I have, you have, and I think the Lord wants us to see this morning. Amen. Be patient, establish your heart. And so there is something about patience that is interconnected or helps and assists the heart of man. Amen. So it comes down to a heart issue. It comes down to where our heart is this morning. And is our heart in the things of this world, and we're running to and fro doing this, that, and the other, and we miss the most important things of life? It can be that way. It really can. Amen. What we need to do is slow down and listen to the voice of God. Amen. Some have tried to hear from God by other means, and it just doesn't work. 1 Kings chapter 19 and verse 9. 1 Kings 19 and verse 9, and it's talking about the prophet Elijah. You know the story of Elijah. And he had some great victories. Oh, my, fire coming down from heaven, devouring the sacrifice, killing all of the prophets of Baal, and just a revival that was beginning to take place. Everybody saying, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. Maybe there was some in the crowd that was saying, Elijah, Elijah, he's our man. If he can't do it, nobody can. Amen. We want Elijah. We want the prophet. We want to hear from him. And those kinds of things can affect you if you're the person that it is focused upon. Amen. Many times, I would say most or if not all of the time, the Lord knows how to humble ministry. Praise God. We got an idea today that ministry is real high and driving fancy cars and living in fancy homes. And I'll tell you what it does. It puts a stigma to the ministry that's the only place of success. But that's not the only place of success. And in fact, Jesus said, the first shall be last and the last shall be first. I've got a feeling that the obscure one who was faithful and patient is the one that's going to receive the reward. Not that there's anything wrong with driving a nice car and living in a nice home. Amen. But it really comes down to the spirit and the attitude, doesn't it? Joseph was getting ready to be really blessed and living in a fancy home. He was getting ready to be blessed and to have all sorts of authority, to be the prime minister of the then known world. But God knew, and we need to know, that there has to be a time where we establish our heart through patience. Amen. Where instead of all tensed up and pushing forward, we just kind of sit back and relax and say, God, do your work in my life. Praise the Lord. Elijah was on the mountaintop spiritually. And all of a sudden, after all of these mighty great things came to him, all of a sudden he got a report. You know what? One phone call can make a big difference in your life. His cell phone went off and a phone call, and it was somebody from Jezebel's house. And Jezebel wants you to know that she's going to cut your head off and you're going to die. Have a nice day. Praise God. I'm telling you, one phone call will test your patience. And all of a sudden, he got nervous. All of a sudden, he got worried. All of a sudden, everything was turned upside down. And Elijah began to run for his life. In 1 Kings 19 and verse 9, he came thither unto a cave and lodged there. He set up house in a cave. Amen. He got his couch and his love seat and his king-size bed, and he took it to that cave. Amen. I've seen a picture of the cave that they say Elijah was in, and it was Mount Horeb. I believe it's in the same vicinity where Mount Sinai is. And he found this cave, and he lodged there. I'm just going to stay here in this cave. My ministry is over. I'm the only one that's living for God. I'm the only one that has put forth the effort. Amen. I'm the only one that's towed the line. But I'm telling you, just hang on, friend. God's going to get it all in perspective in your life. God's going to mellow it all out. He's going to even it all out. And he's going to show you that you're no different than anybody else. And I pray that everyone is successful in what you're doing. But success can be much more dangerous than failure. Because I've arrived now. I'm at a place now. And I have achieved now. And it can bring tremendous pride into someone's heart. So he's lodging here in this cave. And the word of the Lord came to him. And he said unto him, what are you doing here, Elijah? Why are you here? And he said, I've been very jealous for the Lord. He's patting himself on the back here. I've been very jealous for the Lord God of hosts, for the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, slain thy prophets with the sword, and I only am left, and they seek my life to take it away. Amen. He had to explain to God. He had to explain to God what's going on in the world. Amen. God, this is going on here. They've done this and that and the other. And Lord, I just want to fill you in why I'm in this cave and why I'm so depressed. I really thought that I was going to go from this point, this high, to another high, and then possibly another high after that, because, Lord, I am destined to go up to heaven in a chariot of fire. People that go up in chariots of fire, they don't deal with common people stuff. Amen. People that go up in a chariot of fire, they don't have tribulations and troubles. Amen. They're spiritual elites. Amen. And so I don't know what to do, God. Everything was going good, but I guess it's not going as good as I thought it was. Oh, but God spoke to him. Thank the Lord for the word of God. Amen. And behold, the Lord passed by, and a great and strong wind rent the mountains. That's a strong wind, my friend. And it brake in pieces the rocks before the Lord. Praise God. You talk about God showing his power to someone. I don't know how strong that wind was, but it was strong enough to break rocks. It was strong enough to tear the mountain or rent the mountain. And here he is in this cave, and all of a sudden these traumatic show of power and force. And yet the Bible says the Lord was not in the wind. He wasn't in the wind. If God was in the wind, then Elijah would still have impatience. Because, I'm running this race. I'm a racehorse. I don't deserve to be stuck in this cave and not doing anything, not preaching to anybody, not ministering, not doing anything. Oh, but I'm telling you this morning, God had a plan. God was showing Elijah that I'm not in the wind here in your life. I'm not going to give you a fast horse to ride. Amen. Not going to do that, Elijah. And after the wind, an earthquake. And so the rocks were rent by the wind, and then all of a sudden the earth began to shake and tremble. I'll tell you what, you don't want to be in a cave when that takes place. But the Lord was not in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. I don't know what that was. Maybe it was fire that came down from heaven. Amen. God was showing Elijah, I can shake this earth. I can call fire down from heaven. I can do whatever I want to do. And I've got control of your life, Elijah. What you've got to learn is trust. Trust in the tribulations. Trust in the fiery trials of your life. But it says God was not in the fire. And you know the rest of the story. After the fire, a still small voice. Oh, yes, a still small voice. Sometimes we remember things. Oh, I've been in services where the preaching was so dynamic and everybody was on their feet and there was a move of God. But I'm telling you, there's something about that. There are many of those I don't remember. Because I was going fast. My mind was moving fast. Everything was fast. But some of the messages that I still remember to this day was when my pastor got up and just talked to us. A still small voice. Well, praise God. I'm not talking about dead, dry, dull, boring church services. I'm not putting down worship or any of those things. The Lord knows that. Amen. But if we're not patient, amen, we're going to miss the still, small voice of God. And all of us have probably done that. Amen. It was so when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle and went out and stood in the entering in of the cave. So he's back in the dark recesses of the cave. I can just imagine. I don't like caves. You just don't know what it is. They've got some tunnels there in Colorado where the old trains used to come down. And I was there with my son one time, and we were walking through that cave. You could see for a little bit, but then it became dark, pitch black dark. And we were coming out of the cave and had a flashlight, and I was shining ahead of me, and there were two eyes that were looking at me. And I'll tell you what, that's unnerving right there. Here I am on the top of a mountain, two eyes are looking at me, and it's the only way to go. Actually, we'd already gone through, and we were coming back. And we got a little bit closer, and the light shined on it. It was some trash that somebody had left in the tunnel. And it was shining. It looked like a couple eyes looking at me. But can you imagine being in a dark tunnel or a dark cave and all of a sudden, hey, Elijah, who was that? What are you doing in here? I didn't know anybody was in here but me. No, I'm here with you. Go outside the cave. I want to show you some things. Praise God. What are you doing here, Elijah? And he repeats the same thing. He didn't get it. We don't get it the first time around. God has to repeat it to us over and over and over. And he repeats the same thing, because the children of Israel have forsaken thy covenant, thrown down thine altars, so on and so forth. And the Lord said unto him, go, return on thy way to the wilderness of Damascus, and when thou comest, anoint Hazael to be king over Syria, and so on. And God had a plan for the rest of his life. Did you know today that God has a plan for the rest of your life? Amen. Amen. But what we have to have, it is imperative, it is absolutely essential that we have patience in our lives. Luke chapter 8 and verse 15, and this is down in the parable just a little bit. But you know the parable, the sower went forth to sow, and he sowed it on the wayside, and it didn't work out. He sowed it on the stony ground, and eventually it didn't work out. Sowed it on the thorny ground, and eventually that didn't work out. But he sowed it then on the good ground, and there was a harvest. Thank God for the harvest today. But that on the good ground, in Luke chapter 8 and 15, Jesus is explaining this parable. And he said, but that on the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it. Everybody said, keep it. And bring forth fruit. Everybody said, fruit. With patience. With patience. The soil represents people. We got to ask ourselves on a regular basis, what kind of soil am I? Am I allowing some toxic things to come into my soil? Am I allowing some spiritual things to come in that are going to corrupt the soil that I've already established in my life? Amen. But what we must do is hear the word. We've got to hear the word. And many, many times we've got to hear it over and over and over and over again. And then we keep it. We keep it. We keep it because we know it's the right thing to do. And we can keep it and not even have a revelation of it. Well, praise the Lord. Well, pastor says I'm supposed to do this, so I'm going to do it. There's nothing wrong with that, but there has to come a time, there has to come a time, amen, when you say, I see it for myself. I get it. I'm going to keep it long enough till I get a revelation of it. And then when we get a revelation of it, it brings forth fruit. And all of this process here must be established with patience. Somebody said, praise the Lord. Patience. Amen. And my pastor said, don't pray for patience, because the Bible says tribulation works patience, and you're going to end up with lots of tribulation. But it doesn't matter if you pray for it or not. If you enlist in the kingdom of God, you're going to go through tribulation. They that are with him are going to suffer persecution, and tribulation and troubles are going to come. But what we've got to do is establish some things in our heart. One of them is patience, that I'm going to make it through this. Amen. It's going to be all right. Amen. God is on the throne. Is he on the throne this morning? He's on the throne this morning. Amen. That word patience there means constancy or continuity or endurance or patience. Continuous or waiting. Amen. And David said, I waited on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. Oh, we can wait a little while. Amen. You can tell an awful lot about someone how they go through the drive-thru at McDonald's. Amen. You can tell an awful lot about someone about how they play basketball in a basketball game. Oh, it's getting quiet in here this morning. Well, been sitting here for 15 minutes. Amen. I went through the Dairy Queen drive-in one time a while back, and we literally sat there for 10 or 15 minutes waiting to get through the line. I'm sure none of you have ever been there. You're looking at me like you don't know what I'm talking about. And all I wanted was a couple of fudge bars. That's all I wanted. I could have went in and gotten out 15 minutes earlier. But here I am stuck in the line, and all of a sudden the desire to be impatient rises up. I thought, I'm in the line. God's given me a 15-minute vacation. Amen. Might as well enjoy it. I'm not going to go on vacation and run hither to and fro. And when it's all said and done, I don't even know what I did. So I got a 15-minute vacation, and I pulled up to the window, and the lady said, "How would you like a whole box of those for your trouble?" I said, "Excuse me? How would you like a whole box of fudge bars for your trouble?" I said, "Oh, you don't have to do that." "No, we want to do it because of the trouble." "Amen." And I said, "Well, if you insist." And so I went through there for a fudge bar, and I ended up with a whole box of fudge bars. I could have started honking my horn, and they called the police, and I ended up in jail or something. I could have backed up and hit the person behind me and then speed off, smoking the tires and going like that at the people in the drive-thru. I could have called corporate. Amen. I could have done a whole lot of things to get even with this situation. Oh, God, help us here this morning. But you know what the best resolution of the problem is? Patience. Patience. Somebody say that with me, patience. Yeah, you're not saying it very loudly this morning. Help us, Jesus. Luke 21 and 19, "In your patience possess ye your souls." Does that mean this morning that I could be lost if I don't have patience in my life? I think that's probably what that's talking about. In your patience possess ye your soul. And so we see here that it's not an option, but what we need to have is a cheerful attitude while we wait for the salvation of the Lord. The Lord's coming. Did you know that? Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Comfort yourself with it. Oh, it's not going too good here today, but the Lord could come while I'm in line at Dairy Queen. And if he doesn't, I've got a box of fudge bars waiting on the other side of this. Hebrews 10 and verse 36. "For you have need of patience." Turn to your neighbor and look at him and say, "You have need of patience. You have need of patience. That after you have done the will of God, you might receive the promise." After you have done the will of God. Well, I want it to all happen right now. I want to start a business, and because I started the business, everybody's going to come flocking and giving me all their money, and I'm going to go out immediately and buy myself a new Ferrari, amen, and I'm going to get on the Fortune 500 on the stock markets, and I'm going to be a billionaire. What are you doing about it? Well, I'm starting a business. I've got the papers done. And yeah, but what are you doing? Well, I'm starting a business. I'm starting to do this. Well, that's foolishness. Amen. The companies that are in the Fortune 500, the companies that are on the NASDAQ, are mainly companies that have been around for a long time. A long time. Patience. That means that there's been good years and bad years. Good years and not so good years. Really good years, but then mediocre years. And after a while, it levels itself out, and you're going to have a steady increase. Amen. Until you get to the place of success. Amen. James 1 and verse 3. "Knowing this," everybody said, "knowing this." There's revelation right there. You got to know this. It's got to be in your spirit. "That the trying of your faith worketh patience. But let patience have her perfect work, that you might be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Praise God. I'm not going to get antsy. I'm not going to say, well, if I had this, then I could. No, I'm just going to work out my patience. The trying of your faith works patience. Well, I believe God, and I'm going to do great things for God. Awesome. That's awesome. But get busy now and put your faith to work. And as you put your faith to work, all of a sudden you see things that you didn't see before. You go knock on a door and invite someone to church. I'm going to have a revival. We're going to turn the city upside down. Tomorrow we're going to have 50 extras in church. And you go and you knock on the first door and they slam the door in your face. Praise God. You go to another one and you say, hey, I've got good news. I don't need good news. Goodbye. Time and time again. That's the trying of your faith. Praise God. Well, I'm doing my best, but it doesn't seem like there's any results. Well, just keep doing your best. Don't stop. Amen. Don't stop reaching out. Don't stop, because all of a sudden, things are going to begin to happen, and they will happen without you even doing too much about it. Praise God. That's what I've learned in my walk with God. If I push, 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 doing the will of God, and when nothing happens, I just keep right on pushing, all of a sudden, somewhere down the road, it breaks open, and it just starts happening, and I don't have to do anything. Amen. Somebody said, oh, you're just blessed. No, it's you haven't seen the hours where there was no results. Amen. Well, you're a great soul winner. God just uses you in that. No, that's not what it is at all. It's just that they put in more time and effort. Well, you're a successful business person. All you do is go and sit at your office desk every day and don't do anything. No, you don't see the years and years and years of trouble trying to figure out problems, trying to resolve issues, and all of that. The difference is patience. That's what the difference is patience. Proverbs 14 and 29. I'm going to finish with these two scriptures. Could you come, Sister Reed? Proverbs 14 and verse 29. He that is slow, everybody said slow. Slow. He that is slow to wrath, that's anger, is of great understanding, but he that is hasty, everybody said hasty, hasty of spirit exalteth folly, or going to get into trouble. Amen. So you have two words, slow and hasty. Slow to wrath, hasty of spirit. I just got to get it done. That's just the way I am. I want it now. I want it yesterday. I'm doing some things and it's not happening. I'm just discouraged. I think I'm just going to go find me a cave somewhere. Has anybody ever been there? I've been there. But thank God, God loves us enough, He'll come and whisper in our ear, hey, there's a king that needs to be anointed, and there's some other work that I need you to do. And by the way, you're going to be going up into heaven on a chariot of fire. So get up out of this place. Keep on going. Amen. Don't stop. Exercise patience in your life, and the blessings are going to come down the road. Proverbs 21 and 5. The thoughts of the diligent. There's patience right there. That's what I see in that. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. Amen. In other words, what it means is the guy or the lady that just keeps on keeping on. I'm not giving up. I'm not backing up. Oh, I've been tempted many times. I've been discouraged many times. I thought, God, did you even call me to preach at times? Amen. The Lord said, just keep going. Just keep going. Here's another sermon. You got to anoint this here. And just keep on going. I know the journey's too far for you, but I'm going to give you food for the journey, and everything's going to be all right. Elijah, I'm going to give you some food. And so all of a sudden the ravens, an unclean bird to a Jew, comes with a bologna sandwich in his mouth. And he drops it down in front of him and flies away. That's what I get in living for God, a bologna sandwich by the mouth of a raven. Then another one comes along with a glass of iced tea in his mouth, and he sets it down. He drinks that. Then another one comes, and another one comes. Just hang on, Elijah. Just be patient. You need to eat from the mouth of a raven for a little while. You got a big journey ahead of you. You got to have some things established in your mind and in your heart. So just pick it up and eat it. Don't complain. Amen. Because that's all you're getting. You're not getting anything else. That's all you're getting. And another raven would come, and another one, and they would bring food to the prophet, and he ate the food out of that unclean bird. But one thing he learned was patience. Somebody said, praise the Lord. The thoughts of the diligent tend only to plenteousness. It tends to go that way. That doesn't mean that it jumps over troubles, but it tends to go that way. You know what? I gained a little bit this week. Last week I lost a little bit, but I've gained just a little bit more this week. It's tending to go in the right direction. And I'm not going to stir it up. I'm not going to destroy it, but I'm just going to wait. And I'm going to wait patiently on God. Now look at the rest of that verse. But of everyone, everybody said everyone. This does not exclude anybody. Everyone that is hasty. I got to have it now. I want it now. I want this now. Only to want, because it's a spirit of want. Amen. The kids had a little tape that they listened to when they were younger. Hope this is all right, Sister Netta. But it was a little tape that they listened to, and it was somebody that had the wants. And it kind of goes like this. I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I want, I need. There are so many things I want, so many things I need. And they just loved that song because it was right where they were at. I want it. I want it. Amen. It's our nature. As a little baby, if you're hungry, you just start screaming until you get what you want. And it works. That's why they do it, because it works. And we laugh about it, but it's impatience. It's born in us. It's in our spirit. It's in our flesh. I want it now, and I'm going to do whatever I can to get it now. No, the word of the Lord this morning is wait patiently for the Lord. And in His time and in His way, He will lift you up. And friend, when He lifts you up, it's so much better than lifting yourself up. Amen. Let's stand together this morning. Praise God. I love the Word of God. It just gets right down to where we're living, doesn't it? Amen. Amen. Let's wait on God. Let's wait on God. Well, doesn't seem like things are happening like they're supposed to happen. Wait on God. Keep on working. Keep on doing what you're doing. Stay excited. The Lord could come before this is all over with. Amen. Wait patiently. Exercise patience. Don't get all disturbed about situations. And there are some things that we do get disturbed about. I'm not talking about that. I'm just talking about a hasty spirit. Got to have it now. I want it now. Lord, we lean on You this morning. We're going to wait patiently. Speak to these young people this morning, not to become hasty in their spirit and make a big mistake that'll affect them for the rest of their lives. Lord, I pray this morning that the troubles and tribulations and trials of this life will work an exceeding glory in each of us, that we would be counted worthy because of patience, that we stuck with it, we stayed with it, we continued on until the reward opened up and came to us. Help us this morning. Help us this morning. In Jesus' name.